Might be a good thing to say amen and go home. Got a lot to think about. I believe what the brother said. I believe that this God that we try to serve and come here from time to time to serve is able to do just what he said he could do and would do. He's mentioned about in his discourse about praying without ceasing. I heard a tape right lately from Brother Daugherty. If you was down at the association in this year, you heard him preach it. In his discourse, he mentioned about the preacher, you know, and the church and so forth, the brethren. He said, come to prayer and the other parts of the service and to pray. He said, that's what we pay our preacher to do. You know, we pay him a good price. He's supposed to do our prayer and his. And everybody's praying. And we'll come here. I hope you really get this. Brother Daugherty's a real good preacher, and I think he understands, and he's like I do. I get up and I assure you I might have a subject I'm talking about, but I'm watching you real close. And he said, we'll watch you and be sure that you don't run over 20 or 30 minutes. You know, we'll give you our attention about 20, 30 minutes. Be sure you don't run us over. But that's what we pay you to do. My friends, I want to say that I believe we as the Lord's people that's been able to have a hope in the Lord Jesus Christ and know Him in the pre-pardon of our sins, it's our duty and each one of us as individuals to do our own prayer. I don't pray for my wife. She don't pray for me. I believe that, you know, all of us is God's children. You might not be blessed to be able to get up before people and talk and maybe make public prayer. But you can always, wherever you at, I believe, you know, prayer don't have to be in an audible voice. You could pray, you know, to the Lord, and He hears your prayer. As one of the writers spoke about it in words, you know, not uttered. In our groanings, you know, He understands and hears. And I believe, as the brother said, we need to, that we might continue in prayer. I don't have what he had on his mind, on my mind, I trust, you know. Before I go to church, I try to always beg the Lord to give me something. You know, in case I'm called on. I don't want to come to church with not even having a thought. I've heard men get up before you and say, you know, well, I don't know what I'm going to talk about. I have no idea. I want you to know I'm not like that. I don't have that kind of way to do it. Before I start getting ready to go to church, I try to, you know, go to begging the Lord to give me something, you know. And then when He gives me something, most time He does, I go there and find it, you know. And if you really study your Bible, it won't be no trouble to find it. When He, you know, something comes across your mind. Now that's how my travel. I believe these other preachers do the same. I don't believe they come here to, you know, wait till they get here and decide what they're going to talk about and meditate upon and read before He to you. So tonight, I ain't no telling how many times you heard it before. But if the Lord's in it and He blesses us to talk about it after we read it, it'll still be good, you know. I say that about like I do, you know, in this area here, we call them butter beans. Up in North Carolina, Tennessee, they call them lima beans. But to me, they're about the best vegetable there is. and I can eat them oftener than I can any other kind of vegetable. But now look, if my wife cooks them every day, you know, for about a week, that'll be long enough. Or maybe not, I'll take a week. I'd rather have something else. And I believe that when we come before the Lord's children and to feed them God's people, that the man of God's going to have to read and study God's Word. Because that's what Brother Cummings read over there. I got that part. The man is to study, to show himself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. And then we might be able, when we come to the house of the Lord, come before the Lord's people, and come up here and stand before this book board and not expect him just to cram it in us, you know, and we're going to spit it out. That ain't the way it comes. I hope you pray for me the time I'm for you. I assure you will. Not no lengthened service, because what I would like to do is have your attention, and as I said oftentimes, I'm watching, and when the congregation, you don't have the attention this time, you know, say, well, that's it, and amen, go home. In the ninth chapter of John, St. John, we're going to read about a man that a great miracle taking place. And of course, there were a lot of them taking place when our Savior was here in this world. Sometimes, you know, I don't know about you. I don't have your thoughts. But it would have been real good for me, I believe, if I'd have been blessed to live in the age the apostles did when they went around about 3 years with him. And see the things that he did and what he did. In the ninth verse it said, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples now, you know, a disciple, according to the scriptures and the Bible, teaches us that a disciple is a follower of Christ. He is one that tries diligently, daily, to serve the Lord. That's what a disciple was. You know, he called 12 of those apostles. But those apostles and his disciples that were willing to follow him. And what do you mean, Brother Rue? I mean in following him in regeneration after they've been born of the Spirit, power of God, and know God. Then follow him in precept and example as he has set forth in the Bible. Now I know you've heard it talked about. You've heard it said many a times, no doubt. And heard some of the Lord's people, you know, come to the church and come, right on and on. And hang around the church all their life. And tell you they love the Lord, they believe in the Lord, and their trust is and their faith is in God. Yet never come on in where they can really live and enjoy. Now that's why I call this the apostles, the preachers, everlasting gospel, and his servants. You know, that's why I call them that preach that. And try as best of their ability to convict those that he mentioned a while ago that has been born of the Spirit and power of God. And it's the work of God. Not no work of man, not no work of the preacher, not no work of the church, but it's God's work. He does that. He don't turn that. He never will turn that over to nobody else. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Could you imagine anybody asking that kind of question? Well, I guess it is. As this day in which we live, there's all kind of questions asked. And if you want to talk about religion, that's a great outstanding thing, because we got so many different kinds in the world today. I don't know if they really know how many there are. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. In him who? The man that was born blind. But a man, we don't. In other words, when he given the impression who was the, somebody had to sin. You know, we know that they wasn't sin here in the world until God created man, breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and placed him in the garden and gave him a commandment, and he decided he'd do, keep his own way. And from that day to this, still been going on, and sin has been going on from that day to this. And the Lord, you know, drove him out of the garden. He didn't let him stay there. I could understand. Not only go as far as one preacher I heard say, now listen, he's a Primitive Baptist. He said, look, it wouldn't do for me to be God. I think to myself, that's the reason you are not. You know, we don't have much mercy and grace like God does. This great God I'm talking about the one that's got power. One that's able to do His will. No man is able to enter in and interfere. I know they tried. But I ain't forgot what Jesus said. He said, upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He knew what He was talking about. Listen, He didn't say that they wouldn't try. And He didn't say that men wouldn't act like, as Brother Kermit has read to us here, that he was writing to Timothy about how they do here in this world. But we notice this man here, as Jesus passed by, He saw this man. And he had been born blind. And these people, I couldn't understand why they'd ask such a question, but they did. Which one sinned? Oh, my friends, my Savior and your Savior. And He's always had the answer. Listen, He's got it today. He's got it tonight. He knows what's going to happen. He said, I must work the works of Him that sent me. Oh, you mean Jesus sent here? You mean He didn't come here on His own? That's what He said. I must work the works of Him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. That's the reason why I said, I just really believe it was a wonderful day with those apostles. And then on the other hand, when they got let down, you know, when He began to tell them about when He's going away, going to be buried, put in the grave 3 days and nights. No, they followed Him around. They seen these miracles. They even saw this one on this occasion. When He had it thus spoken, He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle, and He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And He said unto him, and there was a lot of commotion around, and he was blind too. But on this occasion, he didn't do the same thing. See, now, in other words, the Lord Jesus Christ, the power that He has, whatever He's got, He can master it in any way that it seems good in His sight. We notice here, I read to you, that He takes some clicks. He spat on the ground and made clay of the spittle. And He anointed the eyes of the blind man with the clay. And said unto him, go wash in the pool of Siloam, which is by interpretation sin. He went his way therefore and washed and came seeing. I got a question for you and me also. Do you really believe that after he had taken this clay and spittle, and told this man to go and wash, you think he'd have been able to see? My friends, I want you to know there are some things in the Bible and some things that we need to take notice of. And by this man doing what the Lord said, he was unable to see. On the other occasion, when I mentioned about, I believe it, maybe it might have been last night, about this man that was blind, he wanted to be healed, and he wanted to know who it was passing by. And they told him it was Jesus of Nazareth. And he said, Lord, have mercy upon me, thou son of David. He didn't make no spittle of that on that occasion. He just said to him, he just wouldn't hush. And he kept on, and he called him to come to him. And he said, thy faith has made thee whole. See, all he had to do was just speak to it. He could have done this man the same way. I'm talking about one that's got power. And his power that he had here, he had received of his Father. Notice I said to you in the fourth verse, I must work the works of him that sent me. In other words, his Father sent him here in this world that he might do his work. And that was, as it was, heal this blind man. Now let's notice a little further about it in the eighth verse. And that gives us a lot of problems sometimes here in this world with you and I. It says, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him that he was blind, said, is not this he that sat and begged? See? The neighbors has entered into it now. Lots of times that's the way it is in our lives here in this world. And that's where, we got the idea of what our neighbors will think about us and what they'll say about us. And a lot of times, who tells us that? Oh, Satan, if you please. We need to listen what the Lord says and not depend on the neighbors or what they say and things that a lot of times. As they say here. Notice he said, the neighbors therefore, and they which before had seen him, that he was blind, it said, is not this he that sat and begged? Some said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. But he said, I am he. That's something that he knew about. And I don't have time to go into all the reading about it. And they call him in question several times on down in the chapter about it. But we notice the Pharisees, they wanted to question about it. They didn't like it. They found fault with it because he done it on the Sabbath day. Our Lord, when he was here in this world, they gave him a lot of problems. But I want to say to you, my friends, tonight, he didn't make any difference. He was the Son of God. He was that one that was to come here in this world and make that perfect offering that was a satisfaction to his Father. And some men here in this world have the idea that this offering was made to man. Listen, my friend, the offering that our Lord made was to his Father, and his Father accepted the offering. Yes, he did. I assure you. And that's what it said here. But I want to go a little further with it. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight, until they called the parents of him that had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son, who ye say was born blind? How then doth he see? His parents answered them and said, we know not. We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. But by what means he now seeth, we know not. Or who hath opened his eye, we know not. He is of age, ask him. He shall speak for himself. Now, my friend, we got it up to the real point now. That's the way it is with God's people here or in this world. You do your own speaking when it comes out of what the Lord's done for you. That's like it was on that occasion we could go further with this. But this man said, he went on far enough to say, Father, wrote in the chapter, you read and you'll find out that he said, he said, it's a man they call Jesus. But I don't know
Of one thing I do know, I once was blind, but now I see. My friend, that's the way it is with this poor sinner. I just stand before you tonight. There's 25 years of my life here or in this world that I didn't know the Lord, and I didn't have no desire to worship God and praise His name. And you know why? I didn't have nothing known unto me whereby I might praise Him. But listen, my friend, I want you to know the Lord Himself came in the office work of His Spirit and came into my heart, this sinner's heart. He enabled me to know Him. He enabled me to see that I was a sinner and I was lost and undone here in this world and did not have hope of a better world. But my friends, I want you to know that He and God only did this. He enabled me to have a sweet hope of a good one day after this life is over. And He's coming back, and He's going to take us home to glory to be with Him in a world that won't end. Now, my friend, if you have that hope, I assure you, God is the only one that's able to give that kind of hope. You don't get that from men. You don't get that from no organization here in this world. You don't get that from the church. But only come by the Spirit of our God. And listen, my friend, when this man said he didn't know who this man was, but one thing he knew, he was able to see, and one time in his life, he was not able to see. Don't you see the difference? It didn't matter too much with him, and I'm sure it didn't matter too much with him, because he had never been able to see. Because you imagine someone born blind. Did you ever give any thought about it? Did it ever cross your mind that there are people here in this world that's never seen the beauties of this world and the things of this world? I want to tell you, my friend, that was no doubt a real miracle to this man. And he went around leaping, praising God and thanking Him. And you know why? He had something to thank God for. And he had the same thing to thank God for. Because as you and I here in this life, if He has enabled you and made you to understand that He died on the cross to save you from your sins, you got something to praise God for. And we ought to try to do it as much so allows in our ability while we live here in this life and honor and praise Him who loved us so much. So we see the blind man. He hadn't sinned. His parents hadn't sinned. In other words, the things that befall us here in life, the point I want you to be able to understand, so much so, is whatever we have here in life, it's not always because of what we've done. There are things happen here in the life that's been beyond our comprehension and understanding. So that's the way this man was. Neither one of them, the Lord said, had sinned from the standpoint of him being born blind. But the thing that was happening and did happen was to prove the power of God. I believe it happened just like it said. You got anything out of what we said? Give it all to the honor and praise of our God.